Good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning, and happy Mother's Day. All you moms, I just, as I have an opportunity to just glance over the crowd, watch you come in, just enjoy some of you this morning. It is amazing, some of the spectacular women and moms we have in our church body. You're such a strength to your families, and blessings on you. I know typically in years past, this is the time where we transition into handing out the prize, right? Some of you might know this is in years past. I hand them out, and I tell moms you can eat it during service. And but this year I'm going to wait till after, at the end. Is that okay? I really wasn't asking a question. I just wanted it to feel like it was a democracy. That's all. I wanted it at least to feel that way, kind of like our government does, you know. They make it feel like it's a democracy, right? Anyways, let's not go there. I think you're going to really enjoy this morning. I know I am. I think you're really going to enjoy my title that I have this morning, and it is Putting Women in Their Place. Now, I note that there's a little restlessness that's happening right now. The guys are not knowing whether they should cheer or just sit and wait with great anticipation. The ladies are just kind of rocking back in your seat a little bit and saying, where is this guy going to go? You'll see in a few minutes. I think you'll enjoy what the Lord has placed on my heart. And typically, I don't always stick with a Mother's Day theme in the sermon. I just continue to ask the Lord what his direction is. But Kay wanted me to preach a sermon to the mothers this morning. So, Kay, here we go. All right. She said in all of her years of being in church, she doesn't know that she's heard one specifically about moms or women. So here you go. Kay, this one's for you, all right? And I get to put you in your place, you see. Oh, now Dick's going like this. I don't know. You might want to wait through the whole thing, and then we'll decide from there. When I was young, which was a long, long time ago, when we would watch TV, we had shows like Leave It to Beaver and Andy Griffith. Now, some of you are maybe Ozzie and Harriet people. Okay. That was a little before my time. Okay. But for those of us who have been around for a while, you just kind of use your mind and you transition into these processes that we've watched in the cultural shifts that we've dealt with. And as I grew a little older, and some of you kind of go along with this flow as well, we went into shows like the Brady Bunch and the Cosbys, and you'd go even farther ahead, and you got shows like Home Improvement and some of these sitcoms that we all used to watch. And back in the time when, actually, I still like to watch the reruns of Andy Griffith, you know. I know we have that availability now to be able to watch these. And I watch these shows, and I'm watching how there's principles that are there, and they're Judeo-Christian principles that are saturated in these early shows. They weren't necessarily defined as Christian shows, but because our culture was innately Christian in nature and principle, we saw that our TV programs would often follow suit. And of course, I don't have to say much about what's broadcast now. I mean, it's such a hodgepodge. It's like a waterfall of sitcoms that stand often in opposition of what Judeo-Christian values are portraying. And in the concept of the family And the concept of husband or wife or mom or dad, or they're just being rolled over. And it's creating such a high level of confusion in so many people's lives. And so you guys get that it's a confusing and difficult time for the family. But having said that, to the church, the one who I'm talking to, it's not supposed to be weighty and it's not supposed to be heavy. Because the promise of the Lord stands true, which he said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy. I'm telling you that this day is the day that is the finest hour of the church. It really is. Why? Because light becomes so much more prominent when darkness is there. And if I lit a match in this room right now, it really wouldn't have much effect. But if we were here at night and all the lights were off, that one little match would penetrate how deep the darkness really is. That just gives you a quick imagery of what our calling looks like and what God has called us to in the body of Christ. But I celebrate those of you who are living out the Christian life in the home and in the public arena as well. And that's what I want to champion this morning. And so the pressure seemingly of being a woman or a mom in today's world is mounting against you from every single vantage point. And of course, we know the challenges that are happening right now in the court systems with Roe v. Wade and all of that. And I get that there's maybe in the church there's this rising up of celebration that might be happening, rightfully so. We've had so many good men and women who have been fighting the fight on the ground level and spiritually. We've been praying through things. And I'm not a Danny Downer, but I don't want you to put your eyes in the wrong place. See, because it's not laws that legislate morality. Our dilemma goes much deeper. Our problem is much deeper than the changing of a law. The condition is found in the hearts of the people themselves. There's where our challenge is found. And that becomes our responsibility as the body of Christ, to make sure that our hearts stand in the right place. So as far as it has to do with women of our culture, the women of the church culture, and moms of the church culture, yeah, it seems as if your battlefield is broader than it's ever been, because darkness is becoming so pushed in to your lives and your hearts. But I'm encouraging you today not to give up at all. If your heart is for your husband or your children, your sanity is going to be questioned in a culture like ours. If you choose home or you choose family, all of a sudden you're robbing yourself from something else. And we know that that's not true. So I'm going to spend a few minutes today, ladies, putting you in your place. Okay? You ready for that? I'm feeling a sense of opposition here. We have a great opportunity. But do you see what I mean? Even with a statement like putting women in their place, do you see what a cultural feeling that has? And you say, but Pastor Dan, you're being intentional about that. Of course I am. Of course I'm trying to get you stirred a little bit, get you a little agitated. Maybe you'll pay closer attention to what I... Oh, because if you leave right now... but hey, guess how many YouTube hits this is going to get? I mean, it's going to go viral now if you put out something like that, right? And then people will listen probably to about 5 minutes of it and go, "Whoa, wait a minute, that's not what we." So where do we go? Where do we go in the scriptures? Where does a man go in the scriptures to put a woman in her place? Proverbs 31. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go there. Let's go to Proverbs 31, okay? I know it's a rough place to start, but if you will trust me here this morning for a few minutes, I think we're going to find ourselves in a good place. Proverbs 31. A wife of noble character who can find. Verse 10. If you'd like to follow along, or you can watch up on the screen as well. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portion for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and the grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She has no fear for her household. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and finds instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Wow. I'm thinking this is Wonder Woman. I don't know how you guys feel about that. And so now it feels as if we have these two bookends, because here we've got God's word that lays out before us and the standard that honestly we all sit here and read through these and say, who can? I mean, it begins, verse 10 begins, a wife of noble character who can find. I think I can answer that question. I think there's a lot that can be found. But when we hold this in context to the responsibility that you might feel, we're totally missing the point of what this all represents. I believe that one of the things that Proverbs 31 has always pointed out to us is the idea of God being able to work through this magnificent creation in a variety of ways. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the wife of noble character is a personification of wisdom within the scriptures. And let me show you what I mean. You recall the little verse we just read that says she is worth far more than rubies. Okay? It's right there. Proverbs 3:15, as it's talking about wisdom, guess what it says? She is more precious than rubies. That's what Proverbs says. It's talking about wisdom. Guess what Proverbs 8:11 says? For wisdom is more precious than rubies. Same words, the same phrase is being used to depict this virtuous woman and who she is, or how she can live her life. You see, this is not a checklist. This is not a list of things that women put up on a board and say, okay, I've accomplished this today, I've accomplished this today, I've done this and I've done that. No, it's an invitation that we have, that you have, to walk in the wisdom of God himself. He has invited his children, his daughters, to walk in the wisdom of God, no matter where your life might take you. So Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Listen, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. You know, just a quick question on the side. Ladies, specifically, are you worth multiplying? Might be a tough question, right? You see, that's the whole idea. That's the whole challenge before humanity, is that we find ourselves walking in rightness before our God. He creates this opportunity for us to be fruitful and to multiply. Ladies, I want you to know that the Bible does, in fact, applaud you in the design and creation that God has for you. We live in a culture right now that is trying to bring confusion to our little ones, trying to bend their minds and their hearts so pervertedly that they don't even know what they are or who they are anymore from the time they're little. We understand that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Even as we battle against the idea of Roe v. Wade and it's all about rights, right? It's all about my right. And I get the battlefield just seems so raw and so real. But you see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to go after the minds of these little girls and these little boys. And try, and the whole battle is against the very principles of God. Just like Mitch was describing. There's the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what? They, like he said, they looked very similar to Adam and Eve. The only differentiation that they had was God's word telling them what was good and what was not. And so we make these choices in life and we try, and all of a sudden, the minds and hearts of humanity become so bent that even the obvious becomes confusing. But see, we have a responsibility in a culture like ours to stand for the righteousness of the Lord, not because of how we see things, but we stand on a word that is without error and is inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. And as we find ourselves trusting in this word, we find ourselves perhaps standing in opposition to darkness in a big way. But nonetheless, the fruitfulness of our lives will continue to be there. There are many women and moms in our church and in the body of Christ that are getting discouraged, and your hearts are heavy because you see this battlefield. I'm saying you are so important in today's, this day and this hour. So, like I said, the Bible applauds you, ladies. The Bible is full of examples of God using moms and using women. And if you'll allow me just to share just three places where I think the Bible wants to put you in your place. Okay? And the first one might still kind of get you rolling a little bit, but let me just word it exactly how I want you to hear it. A woman's place is in the home. Oh! Now, before you start throwing Bibles at me, I want to also say a man's place is in the home. What I'm telling you is there's a powerful thing and a powerful gift that God has offered to humanity. So I'm saying, don't go crazy on me yet, okay? I'm saying the home is a God gift. The home is a God idea. I'm not talking about your house. I'm not. I'm talking about home. You know, the thing that we say, there's no place like home. When we're off traveling, there's something that we're drawn back to, and it's home. I want to tell you, moms and women of our congregation, it's okay to feel that draw and to know how powerful your lives can be in that arena. I recognize the fact that not everybody's home life worked out for you. Some of you have absolutely horrible memories of home life. I get that. And for that, my heart is, it grieves. It grieves because you never had the opportunity to maybe experience some things that some of us have been able to experience. I had parents, two parents that loved me. I had a mom was always available to me, a dad who continued to provide and love his children. And my parents stayed together. And so Sue has the same storyline. But I know that that's not the case across the board. But what I'm asking you is don't drag your past experience into this subject. Don't bring your pain forward. Let the Holy Spirit deal with some of those things. Because I'm saying to you, there is a good thing that God has created. And he created it in the garden. And he created it between a man and a woman, that something special was supposed to happen in that arena. Why do you think the enemy is so hell-bent on destroying this structure? Over and over, for generations and generations, he continues to go after this structure. And I know that just a married couple having children, it doesn't define the culmination of God's kingdom. I understand that. I'm not suggesting to you that everybody has to follow a certain model. But I am telling you that there are places of healing and restoration that God has offered. What is the home in its purest sense? What is it I saw happen in my own life that I can share with all of you in this place? And whether you still have kids at home, ladies, or you don't have kids at home, you still have this powerful presence about the way that God has created you. And he's created you with this nurturing capacity that far exceeds what guys are capable. Can guys nurture? Of course we can nurture. But it has to be more choice to us, where for you, it's DNA of your spirit. Love and encouragement. Men, we have a tendency to be a little more like this. This is how it's done. This is how you do it. What are you thinking? Go this way, you know. Warrior mentalities. But ladies, I'm telling you, there's a powerful thing that can happen. So I realize that home is not your only place. I get that. But maybe it is your best place. Maybe it is your best place. And I'm not talking about the Cosby Show. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that happens on a spiritual level. Because, you know, I'll just go to the extreme of the examples. Let's say, take a Sister Teresa as an example, who finds herself completely abandoned in life and finds herself in Calcutta among the worst of the worst in the armpit of the world. And yet she goes to rescue children. She didn't have the structure of what we would describe or what I would model or what I would tell you that I had growing up. But can you tell me that she didn't understand the spirit of what I'm talking about here? Can you say that even a woman like that's been committed to the Lord and in that Jesus Christ became her husband and Jesus Christ became her strength? And the woman who had no children physically ended up having more children than all of us in this place put together, probably. I'm saying there's something real to what I'm telling you that we've got to hold on to. Why? Because, ladies, listen to me. This world is trying to steal this from us. This world is trying to minimize you to the place where you stop and you start standing silent. And you know, and you start losing all that fight that God has placed within you to hold on to that which is good. Home should be where men and women and children find their meaning. Again, I say to you, I realize that not everybody has had that privilege. But look, in the home, we learn to live with others who are very different and often very difficult. Yeah? Any amens to that one? I mean, you look at the challenges of home and life and family. You look at brothers and sisters and how different they are by God's design, by the way. And so you would think that it would be just a place of conflict. Well, some homes are, right? But I'm saying in the Lord, this is all under the pretense of Jesus Christ being invited into this climate, right? It's in the home that we learn to be wounded and we learn to be healed. It's in the home that we learn to be offensive but learn to forgive. That's where it's supposed to be played out. It's not supposed to be a place of wounding and no healing. And let me just park for a sec, because I want you to know that Jesus Christ is far above your pain. What I'm saying to you, for those of you who maybe came from just a horrible, abusive kind of background, okay, Jesus Christ will meet you right in the middle of that pain. I promise you he can do that. And he can bring something out of those ashes that bring power and life to the kingdom. You are not minimized in the kingdom because you come from a dysfunctional background. I mean, there are hundreds of Bible stories of dysfunction, right? Let's just start with Joseph, all right? I'm not going to park there, but just read the story of Joseph. You want to talk about dysfunction? But it wasn't an excuse. It wasn't an excuse to be able to experience something, and God brings restoration in that. The home is a place where you finally figure out that the world does not revolve around you, right? You have to find a place where you learn to sacrifice. You learn that love is more than just a feeling. It goes deep. It's part of blood. It's funny because my children can banter back and forth, and they can talk about one another, and they can tear one another down and lift one another up. And that all goes on within the bloodline, but somebody outside of the bloodline says something about one of their siblings. Whoa, okay, something happens. Why? Because they grew up in this culture that I'm describing to you. Oh, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect world. Actually, in most cases, it's chaotic. The home life, it's monotonous. And then it's shifting. And then there's schedules to be had and there's places to go. But in the middle of this whirlwind, we find God doing these works within the hearts of men and women. And I'm just saying to you ladies that are here and you moms, you need to be reminded today of how important your role is, not just to the little one that you have running around your legs, but to a culture that is dying for knowing this kind of truth. A woman or a mom can be a conduit of these virtues that I just described, gifts expressing themselves through the lives of others. And as I just reflect back on the idea, well, I'll get there, but let me give you my second point here. The second point is a woman's place is in the world. What? What do you mean? She can't be a worldly woman. This Proverbs 31 woman, which is a depiction of wisdom of God working through the life of an individual, means that she finds herself, you read it again through this lens, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Proverbs 31 actually describes and praises a woman in the world market. Praises her for things like business and being in the marketplace. It even makes reference to real estate dealings. You ever notice those things? It points out one who would be helping those in need and providing for her own household. But the Bible ends this section describing her activity by saying, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Biblically speaking, you have to know that this is a radical view of womanhood. Proverbs was a radical view of womanhood. I want you to take it. We can deal with it when we talk about it in this particular culture, because we have a culture that's trying to twist and bend our thinking. But biblically speaking, in many cultural settings, women were so denigrated to a lower level that in many applications, their lives became almost like property to their husbands or their family. And so you can understand why a culture would want to do a pendulum swing like ours. It's an abusive thinking. But I'm saying here, in the middle of a godless thinking like that, is this virtuous wisdom that God puts forth among the women of that day and that hour. And it takes them even into the marketplace, which was not something that was allowed in that particular time. But I'm saying to you, I don't want you to miss the essence of what this is all about. It's not about you learning how to knit clothing or put clothing together for your children. It's not about you being able to be a real estate guru. It's about you being able to live in the power of the Holy Spirit in the essence of who God has created you to be. And he will use men and women alike, but in this application, I'm saying how much God wants to use women in their creation to make a difference within the marketplace. We have this battle within the church of what is my role? Where is my responsibilities? Let me tell you, you can't ask anybody outside of the Lord. Why? Because the needs are so great within a culture like ours. We've got to find ourselves living in the power of the Spirit and watch how he's able to use God's people in such a magnificent way. It's not that you have to be, ladies, you don't have to be all things to all men. You only have to walk within the Spirit. And he will use you in the capacity of who he has created you to be. The whole point of the story of Adam and Eve is that man by himself was inadequate in this world. Amen, guys? totally inadequate. Women are absolute major players in keeping this world going. I know you know what I'm talking about. And I want you to understand, this is not about just me coming in here to pump you up, ladies. This is about lifting you up. It's not about this. It's not about this. It's about lifting you up to the place of God's design and God's purpose. So what I said is women are major players in keeping this world going. And one of the major successes that you ladies have is you're letting us men feel like we, in fact, have had part of that too, right? You've done such a good job of helping us feel like we've actually running the home and stuff like that. But in all of the things that I say to you, you've got to walk all these things out in your feminine role. You hear what I'm saying? You see, there's so many things that God can accomplish through women, but the blurring of the lines and the identity crisis that we find ourselves experiencing, God only declared two things. He said he made man and he made woman. And he did that for a purpose. And the mysteries of it is only known to him and the fullness of it. But the reality of it is that, ladies, whatever you find yourself doing, it's found within the confines of that feminine role. The problem is that role has become so twisted and so perverted in so many different levels that only godly women can now redefine as to what that's supposed to look like. And that's up to you. That's the challenge that you have before you. Because those of you who find yourself going out into the marketplace, you feel that pressure of what's happened. You feel what's happened now is the battle of the sexes. And what that does is that creates power for some if they can just kind of keep us agitated and divided. We saw it happen in the garden, didn't we? So I want to encourage you, no matter what you find yourself doing, function within the feminine role, the feminine side of your creation. Now, each one of you ladies have been created uniquely apart from any other woman as well. And so as you combine your design and your creation and you add it to this idea that God created you woman, it takes on its own identity and it has its own strength and power when the Holy Spirit has part with you. So I say to you that the woman's place is in the home. I said to you that the woman's place is in the world. And my last one is the woman's place is in the church. That is the truth. Had it not been for the women, godly women throughout history, the church would be in a state of paralysis. I'm convinced of that. There are so many times when, as a presbyter of a section, I watch churches that are struggling and hurting and sheep without a shepherd, and often the only reason those churches are continuing to survive is because of godly women that continue to pray and find themselves in God's word. Way back a lot of years ago, my grandma herself, my grandma Berger, with Imlay City, it was Imlay City Assembly of God at that time at a fledgling state. They were in transition between pastors and stuff. And my grandma Berger, she took on that role. She had to fill in the teaching in the pulpit during those times of transition. And so my grandma never had the opportunity to hear me preach. She never even has had the opportunity to know that her grandson was even going to serve the Lord. She died before my salvation. And the irony is, here I am, all these years later, pastoring in the same organization, and I started off at Imlay City way after she was ever part of the church in the first place. I'm giving you just one small example of one woman that dedicated her life to the Lord, and what the repercussions can be and the ramifications can be as a result of somebody, a woman who just walks in obedience. And like I said, God didn't create the battle of the sexes. He did not. You look in the early church, remember that it was a woman who faithfully stayed by Jesus in the darkest hours. In many respects, after all of the men had just kind of went off and hid. The women were the last ones at the cross, and they were the first ones at the tomb. They were the first to tell the world about Christ's resurrection. It was a woman named Anna who first preached to the world about the infant Jesus being the Messiah. There was a group of women who were with the rest in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers. And you'll see in Acts 1:14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with her brothers. Acts 2:16-18 said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You see the power of God working through his creation. And I want you to put your mind back to the upper room where that 120 had met. We have no distinction as to what the numbers were, but we do know that the Bible tells it that there were men and women. I often wonder if there were any children present. There's no indication that there was, but anyways, it's only a presumption on my part. And the only reason I say that is because of the prophecy of Joel. The prophecy of Joel said, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see. Okay, so here we are. We've got the early church. Jesus Christ has been resurrected. He showed himself to the multitudes, right? And now he tells them, go to Jerusalem and you tarry until you be endued with power from on high. So here they are, the early church, both men and women alike. Jesus' mother's there. His brothers are there. Other women are there. Other men are there. They're in there. The power of the Holy Spirit falls. Tongues of fire upon them, the sound of a blowing wind. It's shaking the place, the foundations of where they were. The power of the Spirit come over them. And guess who leaves that room and goes out and begins to speak in other tongues, in the native tongues of those who were there within the Jerusalem community? It was both men and women alike that were coming out in the power of the Spirit. Men and women alike were overtaken by the power of the Spirit, so much so that the onlookers were saying, these people are drunk. They're out of their minds. There was so much of the power of the Spirit that was over the early church. It was a woman named Lydia who was the first Gentile convert during Paul's missionary journey to the European continent. Women made up the quote-unquote other half of the power of the early church. I want you to know, ladies, the Holy Spirit is trying to put you in your place. The Holy Spirit is trying to put your hearts back in your homes, your hearts back in this lost world, and put your hearts back in the church. That's where the power of God will meet you at every level. You see, you don't have to be Wonder Woman. You only have to be a woman of obedience who fears God. You see, because beauty is fleeting, right? Your boast will not last unless you boast in the Lord. But watch, watch, ladies, what God can do through your life. We all have a role. We all have a script to live out. I get that. And each one of us is designed particularly very different in its form and its function. One of the tragedies of the church so often is we try and create these Christian models that everybody, it never works. It becomes a bondage of religion when we try to create structures that everybody should have to follow. I realize the Bible sets certain parameters of what's right and what's wrong. But I'm saying this is why we live with the power of the Spirit in us. I realize that not all have children. I get that. I get that not all will marry. I get that. I'm not trying to minimize that, nor does the Bible minimize that, is my point. If you don't find yourself in that structure, the Ozzie and Harriet kind of thinking, the idea of the family unit as we used to know it, right? I believe that God created man. I believe he created woman, he said. And he created them for this covenant relationship that then has the power to be a type before a world. And that type is found in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul said, where a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And then he says, but I'm speaking a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. You see, all of these things that I'm describing to you are types of how we live our lives in the Spirit. And God will restore to us the joys of what it means to be part of a home. He will restore to us and allow a power to come into our lives that will allow us to be effective in a lost and a dying world. And I'm still speaking specifically to you ladies, to your moms. Stop minimizing God. I was tempted to say stop minimizing yourself, but it's not yourself you're minimizing. It's God's power in you that you're minimizing. And the things that he can accomplish through your life. I know it would be selfish for me to say this, but if my mom's faithfulness to her children was only for me, I'm saying I want to make it worth it to you, Mom. The impact that she can have, or she had, in her faithfulness, and all of you moms know, it's not always the glorious task, is it? But I'm saying to you also that your gender matters, and I want you to know that. Your gender matters in everything that you do. It matters. When you teach within the body of Christ, you don't have to teach masculine. You teach feminine. When you run a business, you don't have to run a business like a man runs a business. You run it like a godly woman runs a business, right? When you find yourself ministering to children, you don't have to play the masculine role. You don't have to do that. You stand within the confines of your feminine creation and watch what God can do with that. You don't have to make up the difference in any other, culturally, we create these battles, you know, the sexist idea. And I get that society's not fair. To this day, they say that, you know, men in retirement, and they get more in compensation than women do. I get that it's not fair, but a godless culture is not going to be fair. But God is. God is just. And he will not leave you lacking. I promise you that. And when it comes to the church, or when it comes to your home, I want you to know that your gender does matter. The enemy is trying to destroy your creation at every single level, and God wants to put you in your place. God wants to put your hearts back in your homes. He wants to put your heart in this lost world. He wants to put your hearts back in the church. My life has been forever affected by amazing women who have chosen to trust in the Lord. I've already mentioned my mom, but if I could line up my three sisters with me, she was a champion of our childhood. I believe a large reason that I'm serving the Lord today is because of her. Why? She stayed faithful. Even when my dad would not serve the Lord, she made sure that we understood who God was. And somehow, through her process, it instilled a belief that God was, and here I stand. I already mentioned my grandma, who I didn't even get a chance to know her in the capacity that I described to you. I share this story once in a while, but my dad told me the story of here my grandma is doing the home thing. She's standing at the sink washing dishes, and my grandpa is sick on the couch. I don't know if he had the flu or what it was, but she's standing there doing dishes, and my dad comes in. He was just little at the time. He said, I'm watching her. She's doing dishes. All of a sudden, she stops. She puts the dish rag down, and she says, it's time. And Dad's standing there going, it's time for what? It's time for God wants to heal your grandpa, or your dad. So she goes in, she prays over my grandpa, boom, instant. He's healed. Gets up. I don't know how long he was sick for, but I'm sure he was saying, where were you yesterday, you know? But here she is. She's doing a menial task, standing there doing dishes for her family, listening to the power of the Spirit in the moment of God's directive. And in one instant, I see my grandma part of every single one of these components that I described to you. A woman of the home, a woman of the world, and a woman of the church. Wow. What an amazing thing. In course, I champion my own wife as well as I have been able to watch at the ground level of a woman who has loved her children and her husband and who has stayed on task and focus. And yes, the struggles that we all go through in family dysfunction and life, but she stayed true. And I know that my children honor her because she is worthy of that honor. And not all moms deserve the honor because they haven't necessarily earned it. You honor your mom because God said honor your mom, not because she's earned it. But in some of your cases, you have done well, and I applaud you for that. You have done well. And I talk about my daughter and my daughter-in-laws. I'm watching their lives, and I'm seeing how they're in love with their children. I'm watching how they are attentive to the things of the Lord. And it's not easy. It's not always fun, right? But I get the privilege of watching these lives. And then outside of that is the privilege of what I get to see within this church family. I get to see this body that is filled with women who have chosen Christ first. And because you have chosen Christ first, you love your husbands well. You love your children strong. You love your church and your society. So what I just want to close us out this morning, and I felt really strongly, I just want to pray for our ladies. And in a few minutes, I'm going to have all of you women stand to your feet, and I just want to say a closing prayer. The worship team's going to come back. And but before I pray for you, I just want to show a quick video as we close this out.
It's Mother's Day, a time to celebrate all the wonderful mothers out there, not just for being shining examples of how great a mom can be, but also for being beautiful reflections of who God is. Like God, you've provided for us. You've shown us how much you care from the very beginning. With God, you've guided us, helping us navigate through every decision, big or small. You've been patient with us, helping us grow and learn from the mistakes we make. And like God, you forgive us, offering us grace so those mistakes can never define us. You've been present. It sounds so simple, but it's so important just knowing you're there when we need you. And most of all, you've loved us unconditionally as only someone filled with God's love could. So today we thank you, moms, for all of this and so much more. Happy Mother's Day.
So I want to thank you for allowing me to play out this silly little title of putting women in their place. I hope you have a better understanding of what my heart is, because I believe that that is what the Spirit of God is doing in a lost culture like ours. You see, the line, there is no gender confusion with the Lord. And His design and His purpose for you is real. And it's powerful, and it's necessary, not only for the home, not only for society, but also in the church in a big way. And when I say I want to put you in your place, I'm saying I want to be able to walk alongside of all of you as much as I can to help you be empowered in those callings and giftings that God has in your life. Doesn't seem like it's easy in some respects, but that's why I pray that the Spirit will just come over you and that the giftings of God would just well up within you, and that we find ourselves a very powerful force as a body of people. Now, as I promised, I just want you to know as we close out in prayer, your little candy bags will be handed out at the door, so make sure you don't leave without getting that. But the other thing is they have a photo booth set up out there as well, and pretty high quality pictures you can have taken. So gather up your little chicks and get out there and get some pictures taken. If I could have all the godly women in this place, if you would please stand to your feet. Not just moms. If you consider yourself a woman, I probably ought to qualify that anymore. If you were born a woman, stand to your feet. Just take a few minutes and just look around at the strength that we have in this church body. Many of you I've been able to just see and watch and see the way you are with your children and your homes. And I honestly, in all sincerity, I do truly see half of the strength of Lapeer Assembly of God. And I'm not talking numerical separation. I'm talking about God's design. So I want to encourage you, just keep up the good work. And you young ladies, don't let this world rob you from how God has created you. Do not let it happen. Father, as we have come into this place to celebrate motherhood, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do something far greater than we ever imagined. That we would find the women of God rising up in a way that has biblical proportions to it. I've given just a few examples of the power of the Spirit in the lives of those who would be obedient unto you. It happens with a young Jewish woman who actually bore you in her womb. How do we understand that? And yet you use her for the purposes and the power of the kingdom itself. I ask, Lord, by the power of the Spirit, that you would rise us up and you would allow these hearts to be elevated to a new place. That those moms who are here, who are still dealing with young children, that you would give them a powerful grace and let them see the vision of what you have for their children. It doesn't mean that it will go smooth. It doesn't mean that they will not wander to the left or to the right. But God, we dedicate these children to you. And I know that these women are the strength of the home. I see it all the time. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would rise these women up in giftings and power. That all the things that you have created them to be in their feminine creation would be realized in absolute humility and brokenness before a sovereign God. Change our culture because of the men and women. But in this application, I'm praying over these ladies. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. From the youngest to the oldest, if we are breathing, we have purpose in life. We have reason. I pray, Lord, that whether it be in the home, that the Spirit of God would be upon them. I pray that if it's in the marketplace, that the Spirit of God is upon them. I pray that if it's in the church, that the Spirit of God would be upon them. And we would finally, as the church, find ourselves being put in the right place that you have designed for us. I love you. I praise you. I thank you for the blessings that are here in this place. We celebrate our Lord and Savior. That this would be a blessed day, that we celebrate your idea, and that is motherhood. We love you for it. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen, amen, amen.